right, we're in 1 Kings this afternoon. I want to share a thought with you. I think that will help us. In life, we are presented opportunity. Some people are negative about life, but I see life as an opportunity. I see being a Christian as an opportunity. And when we go take advantage of the opportunities that are given to us, we are rewarded. We do things of great value. Some people, they lose those opportunities. All of us have heard, if I were to say Apple and I would say Steve Jobs, and I think the other was Wozniak, we would all hear of these guys. But there was another guy named Nolan Bushnell. When they were going to start, they offered him a part of the company. They said, invest $50,000 in the company. And the guy wouldn't do it. He would have owned one-third of the company. That would have been valued at $480 billion. I wonder if he kicks himself. Can't kick himself hard enough. There's another guy named Ronald Wayne. He actually did invest money in the company. But after a little while, he sold his shares for $800. He would have owned over $40 billion in that company. He blew his opportunity. Though that's just financial. We talked about that this morning, how that's not really the most important. But spiritually speaking, we have opportunities all the time. And it's sad that Christians don't follow through on their opportunities. They don't take advantage of what God has for them. Now, those that do, they get great rewards in their life. But you have to respond. In our story, it's a transitional time, the beginning of a transitional time from the prophet Elijah to the prophet Elisha. Elijah had done a lot of great things. He did many miracles. He had the guts to stand up to an evil king. He stood up to evil prophets of Baal. He prayed a famine. He prayed and it ended. He stood against false prophets. But he was a regular guy, and he also got discouraged. In the story in which we are coming out, the story previous to the verses we read, he was discouraged after defeating the prophets of Baal because Jezebel threatened his life. And so he runs, and he's in a mountain, and he's with God, and he has a little bit of a bad attitude, and God encourages him. Elijah's like, I'm the only one trying to do the right thing, and God goes, calm down. There's 7,000 others that haven't bowed the knee. I'm still in control. Things are fine. So after he gets Elijah's attention, he now gives him a little bit of a to-do list. And there's three people he needs to go see. First, he needs to go see Hazael, and he's going to anoint him the next king of Syria. Now, he was not a good guy, but God had him there for a reason. Really, part of it was to bring judgment upon his people. Then he goes and he anoints Jehu, the next king of Israel, and then he comes to Elisha. Elisha is really going to be anointed to take his place as prophet once Elijah leaves. Elisha, of those three, is going to be by far the most important. By the way, the spiritual leader always is more important than the political leaders. And so he anoints Elijah. What I want us to see is the way in which Elijah responded to that anointing. God was calling him. Now, God calls to us as well. God calls us to be obedient to his word. If something's in the Bible, God's calling us to obey it. God is calling us to be obedient to his will. God wants us to follow his path and direction in our life, that which is outlined in the Bible, but that also which God has specifically outlined for us in our life. And he calls us to be obedient to his ways, to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Now, understand this statement. God calls all of us to serve him full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, we typically, when we talk about full-time service, we're talking about someone who's going to serve God in a career sense. In other words, they're going to be a pastor or a missionary or Christian school or work in a church and that type of thing. What I'm talking about is God does call all of us to serve him 24/7 regardless. We're not just a Christian when we show up on Sundays. We're not just a Christian, you know, when we're here on Thursday night or we're soul winning. God calls us to love him and serve him with all of our heart, all of our days, and all of our time. So in that essence, God calls all of us. Now the key is, how do we respond to that call? I can think of a time when I finally responded to God's call just to love him and to serve him. I did not do that the first 2 years after I was saved, but after going to church on Sunday morning for 4 weeks in a row, I realized that I either had to take it seriously or really just quit wasting my time and quit going to church. And by the way, nobody told me that. I figured it out. I mean, I heard, you look at how the world portrays pastors and they're feminine and you know, they're a lot of them are, to be real honest with you. But, I went to church and Pastor Jim Black was there and I liked him. He was a man. Okay. By the way, that a man is someone who's born that way, by the way, you don't transition out of that. But and he was talking about when he was growing up, he was a boxer and all these things. And I'm like, I like this guy. There wasn't an ounce of femininity in him at all. But he just told the truth. And as I listened to him, I'm like, this is legitimate, and I need to get on board. And I responded to that. And then there was a time when I responded to whatever God wanted in my life, and I didn't know what that was. I mean, I basically was loving him, and I was serving him, and my pastor sent me off to Bible college, and I didn't go there with the idea of being a pastor. I didn't go there with the idea of anything. I was just going there to learn the Bible. And I said, Lord, I'll let you do, I'll do whatever you want me to do. There was a time when I thought God might want me to be a missionary. I even thought about maybe it was Mexico. Instead, I married a Mexican. So there you go. That's kind of what God was saying there. She's my mission field, okay? But I'm like, Lord, whatever you want. And I think all of us ought to be 24/7 living for God and listening when he calls to us. You know, sometimes God doesn't call to us in that way. He just talks to us about things in our life, right? Like, hey, you need to work on that. Hey, you need to do this. But the key, as I mentioned, is how do we respond to it? Now, I will say this, and this isn't for youth conference, but we just had youth conference, and I know God spoke to a lot of young people. He may have spoke to some older people. And we thought of some things in our life, and some made decisions to maybe serve God in a career type way. And that's not what the message is, but you can apply it that way. The problem is, what do we do after God speaks to us? Right? We all hear it, and then we're like, God spoke to me in a service, and a lot of times the problem is when we leave the service. I've told the story before. One pastor told an evangelist, he looked at the doors heading out of the church and said, those are the great erasers. The evangelist said, what are you talking about? He goes, it seems when people walk out those doors, everything they heard in the service was erased. Because we don't respond. And the way you respond is immediately. Now, here's what happened. God was calling Elisha. When Elijah came and threw the mantle on him, Elisha knew what that meant. And he responded immediately. But how did he respond? The same way we should respond when God talks to us. When God calls to us. When we make a decision for God. So how do we respond to God's calling? Let me give you a few thoughts here. We will not be long. First of all, here's how he responded. He knew the purpose. Look at verse 16. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abdelmeloha, I think it's in Hawaii, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in my room. He says, and it shall come to pass that he that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha say. Now this wasn't some arbitrary checklist God had. God had specific purposes for these guys, and as you read through the historical books, you see why God used a man like Haziel to judge the people of Israel. How he used Jehu to get rid of two kings, one of them very wicked, and get rid of Jezebel, and then Elisha. The point is, he had these guys there for a purpose. He was calling them, all three of them really, for a specific purpose that he had for them. Some was positive and some was negative. The point is, there is a purpose to everything that God wants to do in our life. That's why we respond to him. Now, in a general sense, all of our lives are supposed to honor and glorify the Lord. We know that. And in another sense, we are to be a witness of him. If we are not to be a witness of him, there was not a whole lot of reason for God to leave us on this earth. It would just be better for us to be taken to heaven right away. But the gospel has to get out to the world, and God has made it very clear he wants Christians to get the gospel to the world. He wants us to be part of a church that serves and works together to get the gospel to the world. And he wants us to propagate the faith to the next generation. One of the reasons we have youth conference. God wants us to take this faith and keep it going until he comes so that it can get to the world. Do you know if we don't respond to that, we're becoming the weak link in God's purposes on this earth? Now think about that. When someone responded, there were several. They responded to say, Lord, I will serve you full time in my life. Do you not understand that there will be literally the opportunity to affect thousands of people with that decision? If someone just says, Lord, I am going to live for you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to be a witness of you in my life, do you understand the multitudes of people that affects? It's not a light decision. And so when we choose to follow God's calling and serve him in our lives, we are fulfilling his purpose. By the way, let me just say, don't just go through the motions as a Christian. When we start just going through the motions, eventually we're going to come to a dead stop. Do the things you're supposed to do, but make sure you understand the reason behind it. So know the purpose. Elijah knew what it meant. I'm going to be a prophet. I'm going to take Elijah's spot. Second, stand for God. Stand for God. Verse 18, God's reminding Elijah as he is standing that he's not the only one that is standing for God. Verse 18, he says, yet I have me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Now, Elijah was discouraged because he thought it was just him, and God's like, I got a lot more. But I will say this, though. Compared to the population of Israel, 7,000 is not a lot. You do understand that Christianity will never be popular. And fact of the matter is, a popular Christianity is probably not a true Christianity. God has a remnant. Now, there are enough that we can partner up. But what we want to do is we want everybody else to do it. It's like in the missions conference, in the youth conference, it's like, you know, they mentioned during an invitation, God spoke, and everybody's looking around like, anybody else going to go? Am I the only one? We're so worried about what God says to other people. I'm having a hard enough time dealing with what God says to me. You know, I'm glad that when I got saved, Pastor Esposito was kind of new at Christianity. He didn't nudge me and say, hey, why don't we go down there and get saved? I had to ask him. The guy said, if you're not saved, you should come down here. And I'm like, I think that's me. I should go down there. He's like, okay, go. Like, well, you're not going to walk with me? I mean, it's like my third time in church. Okay? No. We're looking around. What's everybody else doing? No, you're going to have to stand. Now, by the way, I'm thankful we have a good church. I'm thankful we have members that will stand together for the gospel in our community. But let me just say this. What if no one else does? What if it's just you? What about when you go to work tomorrow? Maybe you're the only person that's standing for righteousness' sake. You got to be willing to do that. When God calls you to live for him, he doesn't need a silent minority. He needs a strong witness. Let's be willing to stand. We want Christianity to be popular. God says, no, it's principled. We want Christianity to be accepted, right? God says, I just want you to execute it. Do what you're supposed to do. You know, we live in a time when everybody wants Christianity to be cool. We got to look at what everybody in the world's doing. We got to kind of transform Christianity. Christianity doesn't work that way. You don't transform Christianity to the world. You try to get the world to conform to Christianity. Christians are too worried about that nonsense. I don't want to conform. You're supposed to conform to this book right here. You're going to have to stand. Sometimes you got to stand to your family, and I don't mean that in a bad way, like a rude way. I'm just saying sometimes they don't understand what you're doing. Hey, I want to serve God with my life. What is that all about? Well, they don't know. Don't be mean-spirited. Just stand for God. Sometimes you have to stand to your friends. Now, I wasn't very compassionate about this when I got right with God. I just quit going by their house. I quit going out with them. We didn't have cell phones, no email, so if they wanted to see me, they had to come see me. And after a couple weeks, they're like, what happened to him? Did he fall off the face of the universe? Like, kind of. They came by my house on a Friday night, wanting to go out, like, what are you doing? Now this is going to sound super spiritual, right? I didn't do this all the time. They're like, what were you doing? I'm like, you really want to know? I'm like, I was actually in the back studying my Bible. I'm like, oh. By the way, they didn't stay long. They had to go. But I wasn't going to let them drag me down. Now, I went back later with someone, and I brought many of them to church. Some of them got saved and that type of thing. But I wasn't going to let them drag me down. I decided I was going to stand. So we have to stand. It's easy to make a decision, right? But it takes commitment to follow through. Then we need to kick it up a notch. Number three, we have to pursue it with passion. Look at verse 19. So he departed thence, this is Elijah, and he found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. So he was working the field. That's his job. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. Now, it doesn't say technically that he even said anything. He didn't say, hey, God told me to come anoint you. You're going to be the next prophet. God's got something for you to do. He took his mantle and just threw it on him. And how did Elijah respond? And he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. He didn't say, wow, God just gave me this thing. Maybe I can get his autograph, right? No. He. What's the next step? He went after him. By the way, when God asks you to do something, don't wait before you act. Get after it. And don't do it half-heartedly. Do it with passion. I'm sick and tired of half-hearted, unpassionate Christians. Oh, that's just my personality. No, it isn't. Tell me what you like. We'll go there, and you'll be passionate, right? You watch your sporting team play, and you're passionate, okay? Your hobby, and you're passionate. Now, there's not a lot of deer hunting in Long Beach. How many of you know that, right? When these guys go out, they go out early in the morning, like before someone turns the sun on. And you can't get up, but boy, if you like hunting, you'd get up. When you have trouble getting to Sunday school at 9:30, all right, you know, come on. It's like, what is our passion? Is you know, well, we're going to go do this. Let's go. Time to read your Bible. So let's pursue what God has for us with passion. Don't be half-hearted. So many Christians do things half-heartedly, and by the way, those that are half-hearted have half joy. So let's go after it. It took me 2 years to get in, but I will say this, and I'm not perfect. When I got in, I jumped in 100,000%. I'm like, okay, I wasted 2 years, don't have time to waste, I'm in. Let's go. So pursue it with passion. Be a passionate Christian. Next, tell the family. Tell the family. Continue in verse 20. And he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee. Basically, he says, I'm going to go tell my parents I'm out of here. And look, not just your family. Let's just be clear here. But you ought to let people know what side of the fence you're standing on. You ought to let people know what God wants you to do. Why are we so silent about that? He was not afraid to say, to tell his family, say, let's go. By the way, you young ones and you teenagers and some of you, even you singles, you use your parents as a wall to keep you from doing God's will. When I was going to Bible college, and I didn't have a dad in the house, and my mom was a worrywart, and I wasn't being rebellious at all, but I guarantee you, I know my mom. If I would have said, you know, pastor thought it would be a good idea for me to go to Bible college, but it's like 2,400 miles away in Indiana. And I don't know a lot except it freezes there. And I could get sick. You know what my mom would have said? No, I don't think you should do that. Okay. Now, I wasn't a rebel, but I went home and said, guess what? I'm going to Bible college. She's like, okay. I'm like, in Indiana. It's going to be great. And I just talked about how wonderful it was, and I made a decision. She's like, okay, go for it. See, we're always looking for someone to talk us out of things. You go tell your little friend, you let your little friends talk you out of things. Why don't you just follow what God says? Why don't you just, if God's told you to do something, why don't you just follow that? Well, I'm just trying to serve God, and then you're hanging around people that do nothing but pour water on your fire, and you wonder why you're smoldering. Let's just do it. Let's not be, well, if I tell my friends I love God, they may not like me. Well, they may not like you because you're a knucklehead, but just tell them. They'll respect you, and even if they don't, it's the right thing to do. Then, number five, make it clear. Now look at Elijah with the J, look at his response. And he said unto him, go back. And then, to me, I'm reading in here, he was a little bit amazed about how Elisha handled it. He goes, man, for what have I done to thee? He says, whoa, what did I do? You know why he said that? Because Elisha made it clear he was going to follow through. Elisha made it clear he was all in. Elijah made it clear that from that day forward, his life was going to be different. And Elijah's like, whoa, what happened here? By the way, that's a good thing when a person's saved. Their life ought to be different. From the time you get saved, you ought to just start living for God in such a way that it is clear to anybody that watches your life what side of the fence you're on. What if I go to your work? By the way, that was real weak. Thanks, Chris. What if I went to your work and I said, hey, Jesus, what side do you think so-and-so's on? What would they say? They're like, Jesus? I don't even know he knew Jesus. It ought to be clear. Not clear because we jump up on a table and we're some type of Pharisee. I'm not talking about that. They ought to be clear in our work ethic. It ought to be clear in our character. It ought to be clear in how we talk. It ought to be clear in all of those things, what side that we stand for. And he made it really clear. See, we want a Christianity that we can kind of live in the shadows. Just kind of, I just do my thing with Jesus. You know, we don't talk about God. We don't talk about politics. No, that's not how it works. We need to make it clear whose side we're on. When Moses got them all together after all the rebels and all the partying and all the false worship, he said, who's on the Lord's side? Let's go. That's called a decision. And those that weren't on the Lord's side, they found out what an earthquake really is. But let's make it clear. Here's one. Close the door. Look at verse 21. And he returned back from him. And look what he did. And he took a yoke of oxen. What was he doing when Elijah showed up? He was plowing with the oxen. Those were his tools of his trade. And slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen. Do you understand what he did? He was using the oxen to work and the wood there and all the stuff, and he took his work tools and they had a party. He used the wood instruments to start the barbecue, and he used his animals for the barbecue. You know what he was doing? He was slamming the door. I don't do that anymore. I have a different profession, and I ain't going back. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing I did do. You ready? So, back before I went to Bible college, I didn't have a car. I had bought a motorcycle. It was a nice, I bought it like it had 700 miles on it. It was like an enduro. I love that thing. Back in the day when you didn't have to wear helmets, you just trusted God. And so I had that thing, and it didn't have a lot of miles on it. And I went to Bible college, and I'm like, just put it in the garage so, you know, if I come back, I'll have a vehicle, something to drive. Okay. That was back door, right? Because I didn't, you know, I went to Bible college, and I didn't have any plans. I'll just go. But I'm like, I don't want to lose my motorcycle, right? Just leave that thing there. Now, after about the second or third college bill, I called home and said, sell that thing. I need the money. But that was kind of a small little backdoor plan. You know, kind of like you when you get saved and you have all that music you shouldn't be listening to, but you save it. You know, it used to be for us, we had to throw it away. I had like hundreds of albums. You know, you say, what's an album? Think of it as an MP3, but instead of on a computer disc, it's on a really big black disc, okay? I had 200 of those things, and it's like, look, I've had, you know, well, I'm going to save them for later. I'll sell them. No, once I'm like, you know what? I can't listen to that garbage. So I threw it away. You know? So for you, it's a lot easier. Delete it. Sign out of your account. But what is it that you're kind of hiding in the back? Like, if this Jesus thing doesn't work out, I want to make sure I can go back to this. Burn it. I'll just keep my old girlfriend's number. Well, you know, you guys, none of you would have a girlfriend, so. You know, I'll just, you know what you do? When you go forward, anything that was the old life needs to be chucked. I'll just keep these clothes. Now, you might want to chuck them. Yeah, I'll just keep it. Get rid of it. If it's something that would tempt you to go back, get rid of it. Say, I think my wife might tempt me to go back. No, you got to keep her. You got to keep her. Can't chuck her. Close the door. Get rid of it. Maybe it's a phone number, music, associations, maybe it's something, you name it. Next, and this, we don't even think like this. Are you ready? Have a party. No, not the kind of party you're thinking, okay? Verse 21. So he gets rid of the instruments, he's boiling, and he gave unto the people, and they did eat. You know what he was celebrating? I'm leaving. I'm going to go be a prophet with Elijah. You know, we mourn, right? Some of you parents, I love you to pieces, and I'm not thinking of anybody specific because I haven't heard anything. But I know how people are. If your child were to come home and say, God wants me a preacher, it's like, whoa! I wanted you to be a brain surgeon. Can I just tell you, their grade point average is 1.3. They're not going to be a brain surgeon. You know? Well, you know, we had a lady at the old church. We had 30 years ago, and she came, and she had two kids, and one used to be in a gang, and we got him straightened out, and he was serving God, and then she had one that had never been in a gang. She goes, God can have that one, the gangbanger. Said, can't have that one. Like, why can't he have both? See, we get upset when our kids are doing that because we have better plan. They're your retirement plan. But look, just have God's will for them. My kid wants to serve God. Have a party. Now, I remember when I was working for my dad, he had his own business, and he rebuilt alternators, starters, and generators, and so I worked for him. And I worked for him before I was living for God. And he'd say, you know, I didn't grow up with him. He's like, you need to straighten out. We had bikers that would share some of our equipment, and I don't mean bicyclers, I mean Harley Davidson shop. And these guys would come in, they're like, man, you cuss a lot. And that offended me. I'm like, a biker said I cuss a lot? Who does he think he is? And my dad would say, you need to calm down. What's wrong with you? It's like, chill out. Cut your hair. I was like, I do, Dad, I do that now. It's not that hard. And then I didn't work for him for a while. I got right with God. And after I got right with God, I wanted to work. I went working for him again. He's like, what's wrong with you? He goes, man, you need to go out and do stuff that kids your age do. And I'm like, wait a minute, Dad. Before you said I was too crazy, now you're telling me I'm not crazy enough. They don't understand. Hey, let's have a party when we're doing right. Celebrating, living for God. Here's a lie of the devil. You ready? Serving God's boring. Serving, you know, if you're going to serve God, you're throwing your life away. You're throwing all your opportunities away. I don't feel that way. I feel I got more opportunities. I feel that this is the best thing I could have ever done. Serving God's a big deal. It is joyful to live for God. It is joyful to serve the Lord. It is joyful to go to church. It is joyful to read my Bible. It is joyful to give to God. It's joyful. Quit letting Satan tell you it's a burden. It's not a burden. You know what a burden is? Sin is a burden. Don't look at the advertisement. Everybody living in sin, everybody doing nonsense. They all look happy, but they don't show you the end game. They don't show you the misery. I know this, there is no misery with God. Have a party. Serving God's the greatest thing you can ever do. And lastly, get to serving. Verse 21. Then he arose. The party's over, right? You guys clean up. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. He said, let's go. By the way, he didn't get to call down fire from heaven or any of that stuff until Elijah was gone. Until then, he just served Elijah. Minister means serve. Elijah, what do you need? Wasn't it, I believe it was him that was described by one of the kings of Israel as the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. I thought I was going to be a big shot, right? Everybody wants to be a big shot. Nobody wants to serve. Remember, I got a job when we first moved back here. I was working at a loading dock, and I went there. They hired me. I worked a couple days, and they said, we want you to be management. And so they put me up in the dispatch office. So I started dressing nicer. I come in one time, shirt and tie on, because I'm management. And the boss comes to me and says, I need you to unload that truck. He said, there's one order on that truck. You're the guy, go unload it. And you know how it is. A truckload, I needed only one order. And you want to guess where it was? It was in the very back. Not only that, there was a pallet of these metal rods. And in transport, it broke. And there's like hundreds of these heavy, dirty metal rods everywhere. So here I am out there at management, you know. It took me like 2 hours. And I looked like a train wreck when I found that order. But it's like, you know what my job was working there? My job is to do whatever the boss tells me to do. Just serve. Elijah didn't say, okay, I'm the prophet now. When do I get to kill the prophets of Baal? When do I get to call fire down from heaven? When do I get to call out Jezebel? When do I get to do the stuff? No, go serve. Go serve. Get after it right away. And I love Pastor Johnson's message at the end of youth conference was perfect. What are you waiting for? We're just waiting. No, get at it. Get at it. God's calling us all the time. He's calling us to obey his word. He's calling us to live for him. What are we waiting for? Elijah, by the way, maybe there's a reason that when Elijah left and Elijah asked him, what do you want? And Elisha said, you know, I want a double portion of your spirit. Guess how many miracles he did? I don't know, but it was twice as many as Elijah. Why? Seems to me Elijah threw the mantle on him and he said, I'm in. Let's go. What about you? You know, do we have to be prodded? You know, we need the you know what a prod is? It's like it's a prodder. Okay, it's a bar. I think it's electrified, right? I'd like to have one of those. Say, all right, offering time. Nope, not enough. Bzz. Choir time. Hey, you're late for choir. Bzz. Okay, time to go soul winning. Grab some tracks. Bzz. You're doing everything you're supposed to. I just want to buzz you anyhow. Bzz. Okay, why do we have to be prodded? Why can't we just say, and I get it, I know life's up and down, but why can't we just say, hey, I'm in? Why do we have to think about it? Why do we have to constantly be in and out, up and down? Serving the Lord is the greatest life ever. Let's not wait. Be an Elisha. Elisha got it and said, let's go. I'm ready to go. What about you? Let's stand together this afternoon, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. For those of you that were at the youth conference, maybe God spoke to you very specifically about something. Are you just waiting? Are you gonna pacify yourself by saying, I will eventually get to it? I will eventually get there? Because when you think like that, you won't. Elisha responded immediately. Why don't we? Maybe we've been struggling with some things. It's like, you know what? I want to get back to where I should be as a Christian. Don't wait. Do it now. Make the commitment now. Let's answer God's calling in our life. He calls us in the scriptures every day. He calls us as he applies the truth to our life. And for some of us, he's calling us in a very specific way. Let's listen to that call. And let's respond the way we should. The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come?